Positive Chaz podcast on for July 20th. And today we are, could not be more excited, could not be more thrilled, could not be more honored. Brian Hershey, Development Director for Youth for Christ Military, is on with us today. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Your energy is over the top. I love it.
Yeah, you ought to hear me about 5 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Google, I need 5 more minutes, man. Shut that alarm off, four. So, Brian, you are the Development Director for Youth for Christ Military. I think it's cool you got that military tag at the end. I think a lot of us have heard about Youth for Christ. Military might be new for some of us. What is that?
Well, yeah, let me start with our vision for Youth for Christ, because I know in your area, Youth for Christ is very popular. Maybe your listening audience is already familiar or have heard the name. But Youth for Christ reaches young people everywhere. We work together with local churches and other like-minded partners to raise up lifelong followers of Jesus. And that includes everybody. And I love that we in Youth for Christ are really seeking to impact every 11 to 19-year-old in America. And that includes our estimated 430,000 military-connected youth that live all over the world. Hmm. And so YFC Military has actually been around for about 40 years. We had the great honor and privilege of partnering with another sister organization to reach military-connected kids in the United States, in Europe, and Asia. And it was such an honor and privilege. You know, I love when two churches or two parachurch organizations can come together and for the greater kingdom purposes, set aside some of their individual identities in order to grow God's kingdom in depth and breadth. And that was such an honor and a privilege to be able to work with this sister organization for about 35, 40 years.
Is that to say that it can sometimes be a little bit of a tap dance because you can have different church denominations all saying, no, you're doing it wrong. You get that on occasion?
Oh, for sure. And I think this is what makes church partnerships so difficult sometimes. I can just tell you how God used it to grow me and to help me become more mature and more seasoned in my own faith. So you kind of have to know, like, what is core? What is the orthodox core of what we believe as followers of Jesus? What have people believed everywhere, at all times and in all places? And those are the things that we need to lock arms and stack hands over, right? And we need to know what is peripheral to that, because there's all these, you know, heterodoxy things that we can get all turned around the axle on and get kind of cattywampus. And in order to keep things straight, to keep the unity straight, we need to know what is primary and what is secondary. And that's what was helpful for me, is it helped to sort out what is primary to my faith? What are the things that I can negotiate with people from other faith denominations within the Christian, you know, umbrella? And what are the things that I need to stay firm and solid on? So it was actually really helpful in my own faith development.
That makes sense. So the way that you make it sound, it sounds like, so I've got a priority checklist. These are things that are most important to me. These are negotiable and these are not.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it was so great. Like, because of our military focus, it put us in a position where we were working with military chaplains from all sorts of Protestant backgrounds and denominations. And we were also trying to work with Catholic chaplains as well. And so it was really interesting to navigate the faith and to figure out, how do I communicate biblical truth and eternal truth in a way that, whether a student is coming to our program from a Catholic faith perspective or a Wesleyan or, a Methodist background, would their parents still be able to affirm what I'm saying? And that was a really, really good test for me.
What a great spot to be in. Now, Brian, I'm curious, because you said earlier, serving military youth.
Yeah.
Youth who are in the military or move around a lot because their parents are in the military.
Good distinction. And this is absolutely the military dependent teen, right? So we're focused on 11 to 19 year old military connected kids whose parents are active duty or National Guard, Reserve, and the government is moving them all over the world. So the kids, they don't really get a choice in the matter. Like, the orders come down, the PCS, the Permanent Change of Station orders come down, and the family has to go with them in many cases. So these kids often don't get a choice in the matter. They kind of get told, here's where you're going next. Wow. And it can be kind of tough for children and teens.
So you've got an awesome responsibility in the sense that you can have someone who is in a position, like you said, they don't get a choice in the matter. So they can feel a little bit lost or a little bit out of place is probably the best way of phrasing it. They can feel like a misfit. And then here you come along and just like, listen, let's give you some strength and stability. That's kind of what your role is.
Oh, yeah. And I love that you're catching that, because the military teen is often considered the invisible teen. And what that means is they're only in a community on average about 36 months, you know, 3 years. So they slide into a community. They're there for a relatively short period of time. And when they're there, they're coming into a network of friends that have already been established since preschool, since kindergarten. And here these kids come into like fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. And it's like, they can feel like they're the odd man out. Mm. And then a little bit later, they slide right out of that community and they go right into the next. And so it creates this invisible like feel for our military kids. And the voice that we get to bring to them is, hey, we see you. We recognize you. We understand some of your unique set of life experiences. And we want to create a place where you feel like you are known, you are understood, and you belong here. And the resiliency that that helps to build in the life of a young person is phenomenal. It means the world to the kids for whom we're reaching.
There you go. And probably in a lot of ways, yeah, too, there's a question that came up once before. I was going to ask you this later, but I'll ask you this now. Probably in a lot of ways, it gives a lot of the youth an identity, because a lot of us, when you're young, there's an identity and you sometimes miss that. You just need guidance to find who you are. So it's one thing to know what you do in life. You can do military, but you don't know sometimes what your life is about.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you really introduced to them a whole set of, this is what your life is about. This is what your life could look like in, let's say, 5 or 10 years down the line. And we'll work with that now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because I think before we can kind of figure out our do in life, which is our purpose, we first need to get some things squared away with who we are. Like, our do flows out of our who. And so what we're able to do in the life of a middle schooler or a high schooler is we're able to show them how the gospel meets the deepest longings of humanity. I think of, you know, going all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2, when God created the world and he put Adam and Eve in the garden, they had unconditional acceptance. They had authority to make a difference. And they had a beautiful innocence about them. But the tragedy of Genesis 3 is all of that beauty was lost. They no longer had that unconditional acceptance, in a sense. They made a choice to reject God's way and do their thing. They lost some of that authority. They ceded it to Satan. And now they carry with them guilt and shame. And the beauty of the gospel is Jesus provides a way to enter back into that relationship with God again. Through Jesus, we have the power and the strength to make a difference, and the authority in his name to make an eternal impact in the lives of other people. And we, instead of that guilt and shame, we get to exchange it for a genuine self-worth and identity rooted in the gospel. And I know that's a lot maybe for a middle schooler or high school to try to figure out, but we get a little bit of time where we get to share some of that awesome, rich truth with these kids who are just trying to figure out how to navigate the teen years.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fun you mentioned who in there, because how many of us now are thinking Horton and Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for the who. I love that. So we're on with Brian Hershey. He is the development director for Youth of Christ Military. And Brian, a couple of like off the wall questions to get to understand you a little bit better, because sometimes you get to know somebody, their personality, who they are based off of their preferences and stuff.
Yeah.
Mac or PC?
I am a Mac guy all the way.
There
and actually, look, I am not tech like fluent, and I need my technology to work. And my experience has been Apple products just work. Like, they sync together, they talk to each other, and I love it.
That is funny. And then last thing I was going to ask you, what's on your playlist when you open your music app on your phone? What's on there?
Oh man.
To better understand you.
Just so your listening audience knows a little bit of insight into me, I am one of the most culturally illiterate youth guys you are ever going to meet. Okay. I actually prefer writing in silence. And just developing that discipline of solitude is something that's become really, really rich for me. But even as I say that, there's a band that I discovered recently. I think it's October Blue.
Oh, okay.
And they were popular maybe 2 decades ago or something, but I started listening to this songwriter's story and I became captivated by how he wrestled so deeply with his own emotional pain and hurt. And he wrote songs as a form of therapy. NF kind of does that in our generation or in the today's youth generation. And so I really appreciate artists who are in touch with their depth, the depth of their own pain, and are willing and vulnerable enough to express that. So I don't have a particular song that I could name right now, but those are two particular artists that I deeply appreciate.
Gotcha. I think I'm picking up off of you. You're perfect for the role that you're in, because in order to be supportive for the youth in the YFC military, you just listed off artists who are very in touch with who they are and they ask deep questions. You've got a strong empath side.
Yeah, you're pretty perceptive. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've got a strong empath side. So that means that you're perfect for what you do, because in order to support somebody, you have to understand where they are. You're perfect for that, Brian.
Oh, well, thank you.
Brian Hershey with Youth for Christ Military. You've been with them for how long?
20 years.
Wow. What led you there?
Oh my goodness. If you had told me in high school that my life would consist of living in 3 different countries, 2 different continents, 5 international moves, 3 transatlantic moves, I would have said, you're nuts. There's no way. So it all started back in 2001 timeframe. I was a student, elementary, middle-level education at the University of Northern Iowa. And I believe that God put a desire in my heart to do a student teaching experience overseas with a DOD school, Department of Defense School, which is where our military kids go to school overseas. And an opportunity opened up for me to do a student teaching experience in a 5th grade classroom in Bad Aibling, Germany in 2001. This is October of 2001. And we all know what happened in September of 2001. Mm-hmm. So it was a very interesting time to travel internationally and to begin to see my country from a totally different perspective. And that was my first real introduction to the military community, because I had grown up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, attended a pacifist church. And so I kind of had a distorted view of people who joined the military. But when I met these families and I saw and interacted with these kids, my heart just went out to them, because here they are. They didn't choose to be there, but they're in a different culture with different customs and a different currency. And they're trying to figure out how to do life. And we all know that teenage years are rough. And you put all those other changes in there and it can be overwhelming for some kids. And I think my heart just went out to them and I wanted to be available to build into their life, to speak truth into their life, to encourage them and to help them develop a sense of resiliency that we can overcome some of the setbacks and challenges that we have in life.
You said you view your country differently. What's the one takeaway you took from that? Because I know there's a lot, but is there like one that's the top dog?
Let me start by saying, I want you and your listening audience to know that I am more patriotic now than I ever have been. However, I also recognize that the way we do it in our country may not always be the best way. And I think prior to my international experience and having lived 10 years overseas, I had this bias that the way we did it in our country, that was the best, because America is just the best in everything, you know? But having the opportunity to live in Germany and to interact with the Germans, and same with the Neapolitans of Naples, Italy, I got to discover that, man, maybe the way we do things here isn't always the best. Mm. And maybe we need to be open that, you know, living to work may not always be the healthiest thing for us emotionally and psychologically. But by contrast, the people in southern Italy, they work to live. And the mindset shift there is totally different. It's radically different. So I think a lesson that God taught me through that experience is to really appreciate the strengths and the beauty of every culture, because it's there and no culture has it all figured out. But we need to learn to work within the culture that we're in and appreciate the gift that each culture has to offer.
Brian Hershey, Development Director for Youth for Christ Military. Final few questions yet. Number one, the military that you work alongside with now, is that something we can all partner with? Like maybe invite you into our churches, get connected with the local chapter? How does all that work?
Oh my goodness. I would be so honored to have the opportunity to come and speak at churches in Ohio or Michigan area and just to share with more and more people about this amazing ministry to some incredible, an incredible demographic of our society. You know, military teens, they comprise about 430,000 people, which on a generous estimate is 0.17% of the U.S. population.
Wow.
We're talking about a very niche kind of ministry. But if we're serious about reaching young people everywhere, then we need to identify where they are and go to them, you know? And I want more people to be aware of this ministry and to have the opportunity to get behind it and support it in whatever means God might be calling people to do it.
So we decide, okay, we want Brian to come to our church. Do we follow you on social media? Do we invite you there? Is there a phone number we can contact? How do we get a hold of you and schedule you?
All right, I'll give my email out. It's bhershey@yfc.net. That's one way that people can reach me. And another way is just go to our website, yfcmilitary.org, and peruse the stories that are there. There's a beautiful two, three minute video that we put together that tells the YFC military story really well. And just have them reach out to me and we will figure out a way to schedule something and make it work.
And then is Youth for Christ Military something that we can all get plugged into as well? We know that you work for, but can we volunteer?
Oh yeah. Like we are looking for, you know, leaders who lead by their godliness and lifestyle, devotion to the word of God and prayer, who have a passion for sharing the love of Christ and a commitment to social involvement. And in order for us to make the greatest possible impact in the life of a teen, it takes a village. It takes all of us coming together. There is a report that came out years ago by Sticky Faith that said a child needs five people in their life in order to catch an enduring, robust kind of sticky faith, right? So we need full-time staff. We need part-time staff. But we also need people who are willing to step up and volunteer as well.
And then we know that Youth for Christ operates in over 100 nations. You guys are everywhere. There's 130 chapters impacting like thousands and thousands and thousands. Is there a place where if you want to get locally connected, is there a website we can go to?
Yeah, I would say, you know, that just the yfcmilitary.org website is a good starting place. Currently, we have eight or nine locations in the U.S., and we have three overseas locations in Europe right now. So we're not in every community. We're where the military community exists. Our hope is to continue to expand our reach into more and more military communities across the country. So there may not be a military community right where you're at, we can at least would love to have the conversation with folks to see how we can invite them to participate in what God is doing through us. YFCmilitary.org.
YFCmilitary.org. There you go. And then, of course, a lot of information has been passed around this morning during Positive Chats. If you miss any of that, you can always text the studio. We'll give you the information up here, 419-240-1937. Brian, it was fun having you on this morning. Thank you, sir.
Man, what a way to start the day. I love this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I gotta tell you that I'm a little envious. Your last name sounds so sweet and awesome. I feel like I want to go out and like buy a chocolate bar.
Family business.
There you go. All right. Hey, Brian, before we cut you loose, can we say a prayer over you?
Please, I would covet that.
Father, we thank you today for Brian and for the ministry you've called him into. And 20 years is a long time. And I think in a lot of ways to have a new answer and a fresh forward-thinking faith, because there are moments sometimes as the world and society changes I think in ministry and leadership, there's always that role where you have to have an answer because so many people come to you looking for leadership. And Father, we thank you for Brian and the words you brought him into, that you always continue to give him a step ordering word, that you always move him forward knowing exactly what to say, when to say it, and who to say it to. God, thank you for the global ministry that you plugged him into. And we bless you for Brian and all the work that he, his associates, and for everyone under the sound of our voice for YFC, that everything that they do, that you've blessed them for all these years, going back to Billy Graham up until now. Thank you again for doing your thing, for blessing them and touching their lives and being you, being God and being large, making them large, because we know that anything you do grows. We bless you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you so much.